Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 7 till the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. We're having a great visit with John Fox. JohnOFox.com. Is that right, John?
Yeah, I think the best place to find me and what I write about is the number 10taxquestions.com.
All right, 10 Tax Questions, because that's one of his books, 10 Tax Questions the Candidates Don't Want You to Ask, as well as If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax. We launched that book on this show back in the day, and it's still a very good book, so I encourage you to find that wherever you can. Hey, John, let's wrap it up. I want to just set you up maybe with this thought. One of the things I'm so mad about and angry and frustrated about the new tax law is it picks winners and losers.
Exactly.
They repealed the alternative minimum tax for corporations, but they didn't repeal it for individuals. They made the corporate tax rate fixed and permanent at a very low rate. And all they did for small business was give us a deduction for qualified people, and it expires in 7 years. Now I call that picking winners and losers, and I'll tell you, we need to figure out a way in Washington where they don't do that. We don't let them do that.
Just because small businesses
aren't organized, like corporate America is with their lobbying. It's because we're not organized. We're still creating half the economy and employing half the people, John. Why doesn't that mean something in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I spent my professional life representing small businesses, and I agree. I wanted to address one final thing which Americans may not have thought about very much. The itemized deductions for charitable contributions. Now, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Now, under the new tax law, with only 10% of people itemizing, the only people who get to deduct their charitable contributions are that top 10%, whereas everybody in America is charitable. In fact, under the charitable deduction...
Wait a minute. Are you saying... I didn't know about this. This is something that escaped me. Say that again.
Yeah. Let me say that only itemizers get to deduct their charitable...
Oh, I see. Just itemizers, yeah.
Yeah, and so now we're talking about the top 10% of people, 90% of Americans, all Americans are charitable. All Americans give something away, and that 90% doesn't get to deduct a dollar. Let me tell you about the charitable deduction. If you're an itemizer and you give a dollar, you get to deduct a dollar. There's no minimum amount. There's no percentage of your income that you have to give before you get it. So we're extremely favoring the top 10%, and who do they support? Well, Jim, I went to Harvard, and I look down, and I see that Harvard in 2017 got $1.3 billion contributed to it.
Wow.
Why are we subsidizing
gifts
to the most favored? Stanford got $1.2 billion.
Well, especially since Harvard's got more money in reserve than the government does.
Well, than most nations. It has something like $35, $37 billion in its endowment. So a major question ought to be, what is the charitable deduction all about?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that the top 10% get to choose their favorite charities, and they tend to be the richest charities around,
the
most privileged, and the rest of charities that are struggling to get on with things dollars and pennies and equivalent. So
one thing about it, John, over the next 2 years, the relative value, the relative performance of this bill will be clear. It'll be plain to see to everybody. I feel like I'm shouting in the wind here, but I do see what's going on, and you do too. But it'll be clear to everyone in a year, and I hope I'm more wrong than right. I hope even if it does turn out to be a very productive bill, which I think it could, that won't change the inequity of it.
No, and we also have to place the context of the bill within what we were talking about before, the potential rising interest rates that can cut off the economic expansion.
Right.
Plus, I'm really worried about the effort of this administration to cut off multilateral agreements and existing bilateral agreements, that we tend to be more isolationist than we have been for decades and decades under.
Well, I do believe his rhetoric doesn't really match what I think will happen, because I do agree with him about fair trade, though, because we have been negotiating deals not to America's advantage for about 50 or 60 years.
Well, I think that the language ought to be that we ought to improve the equity in which these trade agreements exist.
I agree.
But
with
the
that.
Idea that the United States will walk away from agreements
I don't think we'll become isolationist, but I do think things will tighten up a little bit. Hey, John, I got to go for this hour. Will you come back soon?
Yeah, I love this, Jim, and I think you have a great program. It's a privilege to be on with you.
Thank you, John. Good job today, John Fox, ladies and gentlemen, a great American.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.